Hello, welcome back to the 5 Minute Philosophy Podcast. Today I'm going to talk about standpoint theory. To give a short overview, standpoint theory tries to explain that emotional disconnection with sympathizing against oppression and discrimination without actually understanding the experiences of what it is like to be a person of color, to be a woman, of which experiences can vary depending on where you're situated. For example, being part of a marginalised ethnic group, such as the ethnic Tatars group in Crimea, as well as sexuality and disability, anything that gives you this privileged standpoint, as in your experience, that is unique to you depending on the trait you have, such as your gender, your sexuality. It gives you a way of seeing the world that the social majority or dominant group can't. Those social majority or dominant groups we can argue to be generally men, white people, dominant ethnic groups in certain places, regions or country, as well as having a heteronormative standing in the world. And of course, living in a world with majority abled people. So I'm going to talk about a strand of epistemology that's really central to grounding our understanding of social groups and how oppression and discrimination shape certain experiences of the world. And I'll also be giving an arguably controversial positive note to having an epistemic advantage, because it is a sense of knowledge, your experience, and you have this superior knowledge against all other social and dominant groups. And despite that knowledge having been realised out of being discriminated and oppressed against. So standpoint theory's central claim is that an individual's perspectives are shaped by their social and political experiences. For example, experiencing life as a woman. The amalgamation of those experiences, such as subtle microaggressions, if I were to give an example, generally men might dominate a conversation, and those microaggressions and accumulative experiences shape a certain standpoint, so a point of view through which you see and understand the world. So a key idea to this is centrality. Marxist feminists such as Hartstock and Rose in 1987 focus on women's centrality to the system of reproduction, so childbearing, taking a dominant role in the household, as in helping everyone in the house. So because women tend to the needs of everyone in the household, contextually at the time in the 1980s, that was most common, they are in a better position than men to see how the patriarchy fails to meet people's needs. And men, in virtue of their dominant position, can ignore how the patriarchy undermines subordinates' interests. I do have to note, though, this idea was more prevalent at the time where gender roles were far more rigid than they are now. So standpoint theorists emphasise the utility of a naturalistic or everyday experiential concept of knowing, which I understand to be tacit knowledge, something that can't be expressed as it's knowledge of a specific experience that is realised due to a certain trait, such as your gender or your race. And another way of defining this tacit knowledge is by arguing that one standpoint shapes concepts which are intelligible, where claims are heard and understood only by those with the same gender, race, ethnicity, sexuality or disability can understand. Standpoint theory supports what feminist theorist Sandra Harding calls strong objectivity, or the notion that the perspectives of marginalised and or oppressed individuals can help to create more objective accounts in the world. So when we think about research, like making any research towards understanding the power dynamics in the world, we should first address those directly impacted in a negative way by such power dynamics, because they would know more about its impact. They can see who benefits from such power dynamic, but more importantly, he was negating a positive experience because of that. Called the outsider within phenomenon, these individuals are placed in a unique position to point out to patterns of behaviour that those immersed in a dominant group culture are unable to recognize. So essentially, standpoint theory gives voice to the marginalized groups by allowing them to challenge the status quo as the outsider within a world representing the dominant position of privilege. With this, I wanted to emphasize the lesser acknowledged intersectionality with autism. So autism is often conceptualized as a diagnosis that only impacts men and boys. And due to this misperception, women and girls are often excluded from the autistic conversation. Its impact is evident where women are, I believe, three times less likely, no more likely to receive a late diagnosis than their male counterparts. And using, applying standpoint theory, we can argue that women and girls with autism occupy a privileged standpoint with situated knowledge of their oppression and social marginalization. So while it is important to situate women and girls with autism within the medical dialogue, it's also crucial to consider the experiences of individuals in their specific social framework. So to summarize feminist standpoint theory, three principal claims are made. First, knowledge is socially situated. So depending on how you're perceived socially, if you're a person of colour, you're a woman, if you're open about your sexuality. Second claim is marginalised groups are socially situated in ways that make it more possible for them to be aware of things and ask questions than it is for the non-marginalised. So this is what we would consider this point of privilege, being aware of that. And the last claim is that research, particularly research focused on power relations, should begin with the lives of the marginalised. Thank you for listening, and that is it for today.